I'm going to try to quit, Brother Mike, 5 minutes early for you to sing for us. If you'll be praying about this, something to sing at the end, okay? And come right on. Matthew 24, I was going to preach something else because of the special service and all, but as I pondered it over, felt like the Lord took me back to our lesson we've been studying. I believe in the Bible. I believe in the Word of God. I believe in the King James Version. The King James wasn't anointed, but I believe necessarily. But I believe in the King James old-fashioned text. I believe there's power in the Bible. I believe Jesus said, my words are spirit, and they are life. You can read philosophers and read intellectuals, but I don't care what you read, and I read a lot. I love to read, but you won't read anything that has life and power in it like the Word of God. I want to ask the church here, how many times have you struggled until you got off in that closet, opened that book, and God spoke to you out of that book? Anybody? Amen. I've been here this year. This September will make me 31 years. See, 83. Yep. 31 years. And we've been going through this New Testament for about 30 of those years. We started in the book of Acts. And if I took hands of how many of y'all were here in 1984, it wouldn't be many of you. Maybe 15 or less. 20. But we started in the book of Acts, and I felt the Lord deal with me to, on our Sunday mornings, to preach in this scripture, just take it verse at a time and cover these scriptures. And man, this has come alive to us in the last 31 years. And we went through the book of Acts all the way through Revelation, come back to the Gospels, and now we're in Matthew, and we got to finish the New Testament. We like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to finish the New Testament in 31 years. You say, well, the Lord will come before you get the Old Testament. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Huh? I mean, before I get over there and talk to you about the Levitical priesthood, maybe we'll be up there in the holy place with God. Huh? But does that sound better? It's always better, amen, to felt than told, isn't it? Praise God. I want you to go to the part of the scripture that talks about verse 36 is where I want to go today. And my title above this section said, God knows the day and hour. That's what my little setting has above it. What day and hour are we talking about? When you talk about the day and the hour. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to read this scripture, the rest of this chapter, Matthew 24, and we're going to deal with it some more. But what I want to preach to us this morning for a few minutes is the end time. And then I want to preach about this Jesus' exhortation here to be watchful of this end time. Now, listen. All of us should be Bible students. We all should be. Every man should study to show himself approved. Amen? Now, in the dark ages in the history of the world, the Word of God was, the priest had the Word of God, and the poor people weren't even allowed to have a Bible. They were men, Brother Mike, lost their life because they printed the Bible and give it to the poor. Amen? How many knows what I'm talking about? And Martin Luther, now not Martin Luther King, now he was a Southern brother. This is a German brother, Martin Luther. Huh? Y'all with me? Martin Luther said that the just shall live by faith. And he bucked against this exclusion of the populace. And so the Bible was printed, Gutenberg's printing press, and began to print out the Bible for everybody to read. And I'm telling you, it changed our world. Amen. And so we're not all theologians, if you understand what I'm saying. But I want to point out one thing to you, and I'm gonna be honest with me. And I've read the Bible most of all of my life now. Since I was 19 years old, I started reading the Bible. But there's still connections in this prophecy and connecting all this together. That it's not simple. Amen. But there are some things that are the simplicity. And one of those things, whether you believe that the Lord is coming pre-tribulation, which I do, I think the Gentile church will be taken out of the situation before the great tribulation and God deals with his nation. But whether you believe that or you believe that somewhere in the middle of the tribulation, the Lord's going to come after his people, or if you believe it at the end, the very end, when Christ comes, you know, with vengeance on those that obey not the gospel. But you know, you will have to acknowledge that when he does return for that awful final day, the church is with him. Boy, he comes with 10,000 of his saints riding. Is that right? Somebody say amen. But you know, here's what I want to get to this morning. I want to preach a few minutes. It doesn't matter crucially how you believe that. And you say, well, you ought to believe right. Well, yeah, but what the crucial thing about it, and Jesus points that out in this scripture, is we need to be ready for that coming. Are you with me? Now, here is the characteristic of this coming that he teaches in this, and here's what I want to bring to our attention this morning. His coming. Now, when I talk about his coming, I'm talking about the first phase of this coming, which how many believes his coming is imminent? In other words, he could come today. Do you believe? I don't think there's anything to prevent him, the Lord, from coming today. And so Paul taught it like this. This is what Paul taught. Paul taught that it was our blessed hope. This is our blessed hope. I told you we needed hope. Huh? Do you feel needed? Praise God. There you are. Huh? We need hope. What is our hope? And church, this is what we're missing. We're missing this hope fulfilling. You say, well, I've got hope that I'll get a raise and that my children will all be born with good white teeth and never go to the dentist. You're dreaming, aren't you? Huh? You know where our hope is? Our hope is not in this life. Oh, you young men grow up, they think that they're going to marry the most beautiful woman in the world and she's going to polish his shoes. We need to have a seminar, don't we? We need to tell them better than that, praise God. I don't care. Look, we need to look in the mirror and then say, are we going to marry the best looking? Oh, come on now. You may marry the best looking creature on the planet, but that's not our hope. Is that right? Our hope is that Social Security it stays intact till we die. Well, that's not our hope. Huh? I wish somebody'd say amen. What is our hope? What is the church's hope? It's knowing that Jesus could come today. But what about those that aren't ready? And what does it take to be ready? All right, let me give you this. Now here's what you got to understand in this coming. It is going to come as a thief in the night. Okay, now let's do a little illustration. I'm a thief, okay? And, Brother Jerry, I think I've got your number. So I'm going to call you and say, is this Jerry Dunford? Yes. Well, I'm a thief, and I'm going to come over tonight. And I'm going to steal everything you've got. I just thought I'd let you know. Ain't going to happen like that, is it? How's a thief going to do? He's going to come unaware, isn't he? He's going to watch close. He's going to watch close and watch your pattern and see when you're not home. And he's going to go in. He's going to be locked out. He's going to break the lock. He's going to go in. He's going to hope nobody catches him. And then you're going to come. You're going to come home, and you're going to go in, and you're going to feel violated because there's going to be stuff all over the place. And your trophy that you won in Little League is gone. Or maybe something worse. His coming is like a thief. And because of that, he may catch us unaware. Oh, hey, that's the foolishness of saying, I've got plenty of time. We don't know that. I preached last Sunday. I feel like preaching right now. I preached last Sunday about the Great Tribulation. Now, the Great Tribulation is a time that has never been. You talk about famine. Yes, we've got famine. Majority of our world are hungry tonight. Now, I know you never tell that by looking at me. Amen. But the majority of the world went to bed hungry last night. That's right. And I know we have cyclones. We have tornadoes. We have all of this stuff. But there's never been a time, and I know we've lived through the presidency of the presidents you didn't like. But it could get worse.
Right.
And it's going to get worse. Somebody say amen. And here it is. He said, there's coming a time like there never has been on the earth or ever will be. Amen. People are going to die. There's going to be pestilence. There's going to be a death penalty on them, a lot of people on the world. But listen, we're not through that tribulation yet. This is only the beginning of sorrow. But you know what's going to happen before that week kicks into high gear? The Lord's going to slip in and get the people that are ready.
Oh, yes.
Amen. Are you listening to me? Now I'm going to read this to you. I want you. And the reason I brought you, give you that, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about watching and being ready. But listen to this. Verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, this is Jesus was on earth, and I want to say this right here. I'm sure that Jesus knows by now. He's back to his glorified state, equal with God the Father, and I'm sure he knows now when he's returning, and it's not going to be. But he gives it a comparison. As the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be, as in the days of Noah. What kind of day will it be, as in the days of Noah? And it says it like this. He says, for as in the days of Noah, and here's what he was talking about. They were, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. And you say, well, what's wrong with that? We're getting ready to eat. It's not, eating is not sin, is it? Is it? You a bunch of sinners? Huh? Eating's not, what is he talking about? It was just an ordinary day. Eating, drinking, marrying. We're going to do that here. Jared and Danielle's getting married here in May. They're going to get married and given in marriage until the day came. And the Bible said they knew not till the flood came and took them all away. Now, the Bible said they knew not. How could they not know when there was a guy out there preaching and building a boat for 100 years? They didn't know it. They didn't hear it. They were dull of hearing. Now, here's one thing the Bible said about it. The Bible said men's hearts were on evil continually. Oh, come on now. You can't have your heart on evil continually and be ready for the coming of the Lord. We don't need to get up, Brother Kenny, in the mornings and think, well, it's just another day. Because every morning we get up could be the day. Huh? Now you go to the mines and you got a good chance, a real good chance of coming out of there alive because things are safer than they used to be. And now you know, well, I get up, there's a chance that I may go in there and not come out. And I know that's always true about driving. Amen. You could get the highway and the statistics and maybe your number roll around and you'd be out of here. Amen. But, amen, every morning we get up, there's a chance, amen, this could be the day the Lord comes. Not the day that I have an accident or I get buried under a rock fall, but this is the day the Lord could come. Amen. Come on. We ought to live with that anticipation every moment of our life. Because if we live foolishly and we live carnally and sinfully, we're not ready for the coming. I want you to picture this scenario. And here's what it's talking about. You know, and I know this whole chapter of Matthew 24 is talking pertaining to the Jews, basically all of it. But I do want us to concentrate on this first phase of the coming of the Lord is going to be catch us if you're not careful suddenly and surprisingly. Amen. Are you listening to me? Think about how that's going to be. You remember when the Bible said Enoch walked with God. Enoch is a great type of what I'm preaching about. One day, God and Enoch took a walk. I want to tell you, I want to take a walk with the Lord every day because one of them days, it may be that he'll take me. Amen. Are you listening to me? The Bible said Enoch, amen, walked with God and he was not. For God took him. For he had this testimony. Are you listening to me? He had this testimony that he pleased God. Amen. A lot of people think that religion, that holiness, that church going is all about pleasing the preacher or pleasing your wife or husband or pleasing the head of the organization. But it's not any of that. Living for God is pleasing God. Amen. And living our life to hear him say, well done. And when he comes after his church, he'll recognize us as one of them. Amen. How many can say amen? Woo! I wish y'all would say preach a while. All right, thank you. Praise God. Amen. As is in the days of Noah. I want you to watch this. Men's hearts are on evil continually. And God told them, my spirit will not always strive with man. There's coming an end to this. Now, I'm going to talk just 5 more minutes about this, and then I'm going to preach 10 more minutes about being ready. Praise God. I want you to think of this. Now the end, this initiating of this end, when the Gentile church leaves that has been here full of the Holy Ghost since the upper room, when it leaves in that secret calling, it's going to leave this world without a prayer, without charity. I want to ask you, if the Lord comes today, anybody want to be here to open the doors tonight? I don't want to be here. I don't want to be left behind. Do you? This scripture goes on and says, you know, two will be grinding at the meal. And I know you can look at this in two illustrated ways. You could use this as the message I'm preaching today, or even in that last tribulation period, those that will be taken to face the Antichrist, is going, you know, but what I'm preaching today is it's going to happen. Are you listening to me? There's going to come a separation. Yes. Yeah. Amen. And I tell you, and you've heard people tell it, and I want to preach to you if I can this morning. Yeah, but if the Lord comes and initiates this last 7 years of tribulation upon this earth to bring Israel back to him. Amen. How's it going to look in your family? Somebody going to be missing? How's it going to look in our church? You know, our whole goal preaching here and having church here is to get people to heaven. I don't want to just wheel them up here in a casket and preach them into heaven. After that, it's too late. I want to get them ready for heaven because he's coming like that, quicker than that, like that. Amen. It's the hope of the church, and it's a horrible dread for a person here this morning that's without God. Amen. Praise God. This old world's a reeling and a rocking, but you know the only thing that's keeping this world from imploding? Anybody know? You say, well, it's the Congress and the Senate and it's the President of the United Nations. There's only one thing holding this whole world's situation together. It's the church on her knees. And when that church is removed, then judgment begins. Are you listening to me? You say, well, it's such a horrible place. I want you to imagine a place without anybody that loves you. Nobody praying for you. The Antichrist, the evil, wicked abomination that makes desolation. Amen. He's the religious and spiritual and political leader of the world. And he's evil. Are you listening to me? I don't want to be left behind you. Now, for the next 10 minutes, I want to ask you, how do you get ready? Now let's read. Two shall be in the field, the one will be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the meal, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch, therefore. Now, you know what that word watch? That word watch, in that essence, means prayer. You look in prayer. You anticipate in prayer. Have you prayed this week? Have you prayed today? You know, prayer is how you prepare for this coming of the Lord. Now, hear me now. How many knows when you take a need into the prayer closet? How many knows what I'm talking about? You take a need into the prayer closet, you see it totally different when you come out. Is that right or not? Now, this end time, look, if you'll stay on your knees, if you'll stay on your knees, this day will not catch you unaware. Stay with me now. Now, watch this. God help me preach to thee this morning. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his house to give him meat in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Oh, boy. Woo, hallelujah. What are we doing? Why are we coming to church? Why do we have a prayer life? We do that, Brother Mike. Because that's us being ready for his coming. We don't do it just for the now. We do it because he's coming. He's called us to do this. He's anointed us to do this. He's exhorted us to do this. And we've got to keep doing it till he comes. Amen. Come on now. And I want to tell you what happens when we fail to do this. We lose our first love. We lose that tender spirit toward God. Amen. And he comes. He catches us not ready. How about you, sinner friend? Have you talked to God about the condition of your soul? He's the only one can correct it. If he comes back and you have not repented like he asked you to do, you're not going to be ready. No, I could have everybody put their offering this morning in a little old dinky envelope and write your name on it, and I could count them up and say, yes, you're ready. You've paid your tithes. That ain't it. That's between you and the good Lord. I don't even want to look at it. It don't matter as far as who does what and how. If you gave a quarter or $2,500, I'd prefer the $2,500, but that's okay. It don't matter, huh? It don't matter. You got to be ready. He said, what servant whom I put in charge? Listen, God has put you in charge of your very soul. Amen. There ain't nobody can get saved for you. There ain't nobody can make you devoted. Amen. Look, you can't live for God on your own. You've got to go into that prayer closet and surrender yourself to Him and say, God, keep me. Amen. Help me be ready. Help me be faithful. It's no time to cut our services out. It's no time to take, amen, a holiday from holiness. Amen. It ain't no time, amen, for us to be interested in being a millionaire in this world and never consider, amen, that God is coming. Amen. And we've got to be right to meet Him. Amen. Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he's not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If we're not ready when he comes, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's get ready. How do you get ready, preacher? Amen. It's pretty simple. Amen. If we'll confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Amen. Bow your heads with me, please. Brother Mike, if you'll come. Church is praying right here. Church, first and foremost, I want you to pray about yourself being ready. If you're not faithful in the things that the Lord has called you to do, you're not ready. According to the Bible. If you get discouraged because His coming is delayed and you begin to smite one another and you begin to eat and drink with the drunken and you go back to the world that the Lord's called you out of, then you're not ready. Church, say amen. If the Lord has said, except you also repent, you shall likewise perish, and you've not repented and you've not forsook your sins for Christ, you're not ready. If you say, I'm a good moral person, I pay my debts and I don't lie very often, you're not ready. You got to be born of God. You got to be born of God. You got to give Him all of you. Every phase of your life. Amen. This morning, while every head is bowed and singers get ready to sing, we're going to make an altar for those that are not ready in this house this morning. If you're not ready, the altar's open for you.
We were young, now we're old. All the silver, all the gold kept by alive one day for you to hold in time. When we reach,
altar's open for you.
Heaven's shore,
God ordained this day.
I won't matter anymore.
For you to get ready for that
we'll
great day.
We'll see our friends.